Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
Join in the prayer of illumination you find printed in your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who is both creator and redeemer of all creation. You may have noticed that one of your pastors is out and they've gone to the bullpen this morning for a pinch hitter. As I like to say, I preach, pray, and demand these days. Preach and pray on demand these days. But what I wasn't prepared for was to be placed in this lineup in this series on creation. And be told in pretty direct terms, here's your theme and here's your text. I mean, I've got a lot of good sermons in Nashville in my file cabinet. I could have just pulled one of those out. It'd have been seamless. Y'all wouldn't have noticed. But no, we've got this series. And the good people of OU would not want to be confused by a bishop. But I doubt Eddie Rester would have told his bishop what to preach. I'm just saying. Well, it's good to be here. OU is becoming our second church home. Since Chris has become your associate pastor, we have discovered that we sort of like being here. We really like it when the grandchildren are here. And any excuse we can have to come to Oxford or North Mississippi, we will take. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity. Do I need to move this over and use this? Let's see what happens. I was thinking about how much traveling we do as I was preparing for this sermon. I travel. I'm the bishop of the Tennessee and Memphis conferences. For those of you who are lifelong Methodists, that'll sound like a two-point charge. I get to bi-locate, be in two places most of the time. We do a lot of traveling in Middle Tennessee, West Tennessee, Western Kentucky. I have 1,000 churches across that area, about 1,000 preachers. We also do a lot of traveling on behalf of the church. In the last 12 months, we have been to Zimbabwe and East Congo, to Norway, to the Holy Land, to Israel, to Greece. In March, I was in Zimbabwe, where we were visiting Africa University, the 25th anniversary of Africa University. Perhaps you have been a part of supporting that good work there. Zimbabwe is called the breadbasket of Africa. It is lush, it is green, it is fertile, it is a beautiful, beautiful country. Africa University is teaching their students how to cultivate crops and cattle to make a sustainability culture in that country. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I'm blessed in those travels to see how God has been at work in the world, in the wonder of creation. It's amazing to see the different varieties of places God's hand has touched. On a recent trip, I was taken back in my mind's eye to my childhood, a vacation, a family vacation our family took out west. In those days, we traveled by camping. We had a tent trailer. We pulled it all across America. That particular summer, we wound up in the Rio Grande Valley, Carlsbad Caverns, the Grand Canyon. We camped in KOA campgrounds. Maybe you did the same in your growing up years. But if you are struggling with your theology of creation, I challenge you to go to the Grand Canyon and all will be settled. I remember one summer we were in the Grand Canyon camping, and my father, some of you know my father, Roy McAlealy, he said, boys, to my brother and me, go gather up some firewood. All around the campsite were posted signs, do not gather firewood. We gathered firewood. We built a fire. The park ranger came up and said, sir, you can't burn that wood. Some of you know my daddy. He said, it looks like I'm doing a pretty good job of it to me. Creation. But I have to tell you, the place where I'm taken back most to the beauty and wonder of God's creation is the beach. I love to go to the ocean, to stand at the ocean's edge and hear and feel and experience those wave after wave after wave wash over the beach, to see what God's going to wash up on the shore, to feel the breeze touch the sand and be reminded of the mystery and the majesty of God. But those of us who are of sufficient years know that life is not always a beach and a bag of chips. Life does not always give us that gift, living as we do a long way away from the beach, a long way away from the glorious mountains. And when life comes crashing in on us, when illness or defeat or death comes without warning, you begin to feel as if you are in the wilderness, even in a place like Oxford, or maybe exile, which is the place from which the prophet speaks this word this morning. You know this to be true. Exile is no stranger to the 21st century. And in our text this morning, Isaiah is responding to his friends and loved ones out of the challenging years of being exiled in Babylon. It's as if the Israelites are crying out, how long, O Lord, how long will we be strangers in a strange land? Surely, Lord, you didn't bring us this far for this. Perhaps you remember and hear echoed in these words, Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked of us songs. For more than 40 years, the congregation waited for their plight to change. Some scholars say up to 70 years. And the prophet is trying to strengthen his people. He's trying to encourage them. It reminds me of the word in the book of Hebrews, where the writer of the Hebrew letter says, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees. Hold on, don't give up, press on. The prophet is trying to strengthen his people, to remind them of who they are and whose they are. You stay too long in a strange place, you'll start talking funny. Stay too long in a strange place, you'll start looking and dressing differently. Stay too long in an ungodly place, and you will worship false gods. You will lose your footing. You will forget how and where to walk. Walter Brueggemann explains that the early Israelites had two words for God, Elohim, El, and Yahweh. El was used when one talked about God. Yahweh was used when you were naming God's presence. Remember, Moses said, who shall I say is sending us? God says, Yahweh, I am who I am. Interestingly, and essentially unpronounceable even in the original language, it would have seemed like an exhausted and utterly unutterable sigh, Yahweh. Well, on one of our trips to the Holy Land, we went from Jerusalem to Jericho. The text says in the New Testament, the man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among robbers. Well, I went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and I fell 5 feet on a rock, broke 2 ribs. It was a bad day. I thought I was dying. I could not grasp my breath. It seemed like an eternity. Now, I've had my breath knocked out of me playing football in my younger life, but nothing like this. It was as if I was beyond the end of my rope. Maybe you haven't fallen like that, but I suspect those of us of sufficient years have had an experience or two where life has knocked the wind out of us, has thrust us into a kind of exile where we feel as if we are strangers in a strange land. Maybe that's where some of you are today. It's when the patient learns that the cancer has metastasized and the doctor says, "We've done everything we could do." It's when every available resource has been exhausted and every marker called in, and the moment one realizes that there's only one other alternative, and that's to file bankruptcy. Sooner or later, we all end up east of Eden. We long to go back to paradise. We long to go back to when Mother took care of us and life was good. But sooner or later, we are east of Eden, and we want to go back home. And when you're in exile, it's important to remember. And the way the biblical narrative helps us remember is by telling and retelling and retelling the story of God's goodness, God's benefits, God's action on behalf of God's people. And Isaiah is clever to echo and rehearse the narrative of what God has done. Now, we didn't read verses 21 to 26, but let me tell you what's in there. Have you not known, have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Now, the Hebrew text literally reads, "Have you not understood the foundations of the earth?" Not from the foundations, but the foundations. And so this final rhetorical question is actually the climax of a series of staccato lines. Surely you know, surely you have heard, surely it has been told of you, surely you understand the foundations of the earth. And if you understand the foundations of the earth, how can you believe in the possibility of any other God at work in our world? This God, and this God alone, stands above the world, creating a place for all of us. Now, maybe somewhere along your journey, you have fallen into a place where it feels like the absence of the presence of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place where you ask God, "Where are you, and why did you allow this to happen in my life?" In spite of those times when you feel the absence of the presence of God, God is still present. Just because you don't feel God's presence does not negate the fact that God is present. In verses 27 through 31, the most well-known aspects of this 40th chapter oftentimes are misinterpreted. Occasionally, the language of verse 30 concerning those who are weary and exhausted is isolated and used pastorally for all who are in difficult circumstances. And let me be quick to say, I believe God is intimately concerned about those of us who are in difficult circumstances, who are weary and exhausted. But there's a more pointed focus in verse 27 that helps us. The poet quotes the lamenting people asking why they say, "My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God." Your pastor gave me a little hint for my sermon the other day when he texted me what the Message translates verse 27 to be. It says this: God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. The weary and exhausted are those who have felt abandoned by their God, and their circumstances do little to deny such a thought. But the poet doesn't deny such wickedness, but instead suggests that such wickedness does not deny God. The God of Israel is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. This is the God who not only created, but creates. The promise of an end to exile and renewed strength seems impossible to believe because their current plight is so impossible to deny. And what seems irreconcilable is in fact not irreconcilable because of the identity of the one in whom they confess. While his understanding is unsearchable, his identity is undeniable. He is the creator who recreates, shaping and reshaping the world and all who live in it. Listen, God creates tension, separating light from dark, heaven from earth, perfection from sin, paradise from humanity. In a way, God sets up this dynamic interaction, establishing a relationship, instituting an ongoing tension, and further instigates it with God's ongoing creative, redemptive work. Let me try to say it this way. Our text, our story, suggests we wait and watch so we can begin to see what God is going to do next. This is what the prophet was trying to explain, articulate to the Hebrew people in exile. Remember, God's not gone, God's not dead, and God is not leaving us alone. Align yourself with God, attune yourselves to what God is doing, and rediscover the emerging opportunities. To put it in how we folks from Mississippi might say it, God's got you, God has always had you, and God will always have you. Now, in a very unusual way, in the mysterious unevenness of life, here comes this text to Oxford and to OU in a most timely manner. Our hearts are heavy for the entire Ole Miss family this week, for Coach Freeze and his family, for the players, for the assistant coaches, for all those whose lives are intimately intertwined in this community. Paul was right, when one rejoices, we all rejoice, and we all like to win football games. But when one weeps, we all weep. Another way to frame it is to come to understand that exile has visited us in a profound and deeply painful way, and if there is a word for the university community and perhaps the Freeze family, it is this: God's understanding is unsearchable. And God keeps looking for us even when we feel abandoned or when we abandon God. And God will reshape us. And God will continually make us into something better. We are new creatures in Christ. His identity is undeniable. He is creator and sustainer, redeemer, and our friend. And already God is recreating and shaping and reshaping our world. So, if you find yourself in exile today or somewhere down the road, remember this. The good news of the gospel, which Isaiah is foretelling, is that Jesus offers a different way of knowing. I've been helped in recent days by some writing of Richard Rohr, the Franciscan Catholic priest. He writes, Jesus offers us an intimate relationship, sometimes a dark night of the soul, a path where we must discover for ourselves that grace, love, and mercy, and forgiveness are absolutely necessary for survival in an uncertain world. And my Lord, do we not live in an uncertain world right now? Know this, you only need enough clarity and ground to take your next faithful step. Paul was right, we are saved by faith, less by certainty. And if you will commit your life to this journey, to live in this way, you will never stop growing, you will never easily be defeated, and frankly, life is a whole lot more fun. And here's the truth of it. You can tell mature and authentic faith by people's ability to deal with darkness and failure and brokenness, and by their quiet but confident joy. And I would go so far as to say it's only those who walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness and defeat and death who know the confident joy of our Lord. The early church, mothers and fathers, were wise people. And one of the early church mothers, Synclitica, who died in 400 AD, said, "We all sail on in darkness, confident in Isaiah's reminder that our way is never hidden from a God who is infinite in his understanding and unconditional in his love." So here's what I'm learning these days. I'm learning not to give up. I'm learning to trust in God's grace. I'm learning that the more you mature, the wiser you become regarding your own fault lines. Do I need to say that again? The wiser you become as you grow and mature. Why? Because you have come to understand that there, by the grace of God, go I. There, but the grace of God, I could be broken. I could do the wrong thing. I could make the wrong decision. Paul said it in Romans, "The very good I would do, I do not know. It's not I that lives, but sin that lives in me." And when we come to understand our own frail humanity, we will come to receive the grace that God has for us already. And so God is creating. I have to tell you, we see it in our family with this little baby God has given us, Bo. Chris says she's got a big name for such a little baby. But it has restored our faith in God, the Creator. God is still renewing, because we see this in the way OU has taken on this big project, this big thing over here that has disrupted everybody. But you have placed your faith in a God of the future that believes that God is not through with this church yet, that God is still at work in this place, and that God is going to continue to bless generations to come because you walked this way and made this commitment. God is still renewing and creating. But most of all, God is redeeming. And we see this every time a person broken by sin and failure turns away from destructive habits and allows the Holy Spirit to renew them and begin again. See, our God is a God of second chances. Isaiah says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and he strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk, and they shall not faint." We began this part of the service with the prayer of the Holy Spirit, and you prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth." I wonder this morning if you're weary and if you're tired and if you've forgotten how to run or walk, and if you somehow need the Lord to just come to you and lift you up. If that's the case, I pray in the balance of our time together, you will allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your life and renew you, because our God is a God who invites us into a new creation. As the old black preacher used to say, "I ain't what I want to be, and I ain't what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't what I was." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the church said,
amen. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.